The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Colossians. We're back to Colossians. And I have a couple of translations I want to do some reading through today. I asked you earlier to be thinking about several words in that passage from the liturgy earlier. Let's see, there was circumcision and baptism, certificate of debt. Yes, I love that phrase. Rulers and authorities, principalities and powers. Well, if you will remember also, when we started this little foray into Colossians, I wanted you to remember that Paul was writing against a particular heresy. And the heresy that was springing up had to do with Jesus. Seems like all the heresies have to do with Jesus. This one in particular was something that was bubbling up in Colossae that had Jesus essentially as a created being that was one of several paths to God, one of several paths to enlightenment. Does that sound like anything familiar? Yeah, you've got a lot of people saying that kind of stuff today. Jesus is a great guy, good teacher, and he's one of several paths. One of the things about the Colossian heresy also was that they said he was one created being, one path to God on one particular level. So the Colossian heresy also saw different paths, which we can sort of get our mind around, but also different levels. So there were different levels of spirituality, and maybe you could achieve a certain level, but then there would be another obstacle, etc., and so on. And so Paul is taking that head on. I want to also remind you quickly that we looked at a word last week that was fullness, and the word in the original Greek is pleroma. I said to you that that's, at least I think, where we get the same root word shared with plethora, a whole bunch of. And this particular heresy said that there was something out there called the fullness. And it was all these levels and paths and different spiritual entities and angels and all kinds of things. And Paul is saying, you're right about there being a fullness, but you are wrong in giving it a variety of names, because the fullness is one. Jesus himself is the pleroma. So we pick up again this week with him going again after some of these heresies, and he also draws a distinction about baptism. Before I read the passage, let's talk about that just for a second. In the Colossian church, they saw regular old Christian liturgy and ritual as being kind of lower class or not as good as. Remember that they were Gnostics who believed that they had special knowledge, and our special knowledge about spiritual things is more sophisticated than yours. And yes, you can have your little quaint baptism, but what we have is even more special because it's deeper and we know more, et cetera, et cetera. And what Paul is doing, among other things here, is calling them back to their baptismal vows. Remember that in the early church, though I'm not sure whether it would have been developed by this particular time, one of the things that happens at baptism is that you speak what it is you believe. You profess faith in God. And as the centuries progressed, at baptism often was said the Apostles' Creed. And so that's why we do it here at Epiclesis. When we baptize someone, we walk that person through the Apostles' Creed, which we're going to do for us today as we call ourselves back to our baptismal vows. So I want to read in a couple of different translations, verses 6 through 15. And I'll read first in one translation, and then I want to read in the NIV, and then I have some thoughts for you, okay? So we're Colossians 2, 6 through 15. Everybody there? As you therefore have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you. I love that particular translation. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, that is Christ, dwells all the fullness, there's that word again, pleroma, of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith and the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all the trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements. I love that particular turn of the phrase. Which was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way. Having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. You hear a number of those themes in there that we talked about earlier, and you can hear him chipping away at particular heresies that were bubbling up in the Colossian church. Let me read it to you in the NIV and then some thoughts. Colossians 2:6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. I think the word in the other translation was abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive. Remember, the other translation said cheat you. See that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. By the way, I like the other translation a skosh better in that phrase. This one said, you have been given fullness in Christ. The other translation says, you are complete in him. I love that. Remember, the heresy said, okay, Christ is one particular way, and he's one created being, and he sort of has power on one particular level, but there are some other things you have to do. There's some other paths you have to take. Paul says, nope, Christ Jesus himself is the fullness. And you know what? You are already complete in him. Let me go on and read. Verse 9, let me back up a bit. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity in bodily form dwells, or lives, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code. Other translations say decree or bond. Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, he took it away and nailed it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The original language actually is in the cross. The author has been saying in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. He sums it all up by saying Jesus made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. That little phrase I mentioned last week in the Latin translation says in semet ipso, which means in himself, all by himself, alone. He accomplishes it utterly, singularly, by himself. Man, Jesus did that. And in enumerating these things, Paul again is chipping away, chipping away, chipping away at this heresy that is springing up. Did you notice the bit in there about Jesus having headship over every power and authority? Did you see that? It's long about verse 10. In the other translation, it says, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and powers. So one study Bible that I was looking at talks about what those principles of the world are. What are these principalities? And at least this particular study Bible names four of them. It says, basic elements of matter, Jesus is over those. Two, laws that regulate the universe, Jesus is over those. Including, by the way, those that condition fallen human life, such as death and sin and flesh and whatever, the Mosaic Law. Three, the spirits who use these conditions to oppose Christ and are at the core of the pagan cults and systems of knowledge, that is to say, especially in this case, those that lie at the core of the Gnostics. And four, human traditions, those that are opposed to God's tradition. Listen, Jesus is the head of all of those things. They all bow to him. I asked you earlier, are you feeling a little fractured or unwhole? Jesus himself is your fullness. He already has all of it under control, and it is under him, and he himself is the pleroma, and you have been given fullness or completeness in him. So there are two or three things in here that I think are worth pointing out that Paul is talking about, and it may resonate with you today. Question, do we need to rise through manifold levels of being in order to get to God? No, we don't. And there's nothing new under the sun, because I know that you are going to encounter people out there in the world who see that the path to spirituality or enlightenment is through some sort of manifold level of being in order to get to God. No, the incarnate Christ is fully God and fully man, and he himself in semit ipso fulfills human nature, and all levels of being submit to him. Do we need to rise slowly through a humanly conceived spiritual bureaucracy to God? No, because we go directly through Christ, for he is the sovereign power and the head over all angelic beings and everything else. Remember, one of the things they said was that there are angelic beings who, I suppose, like some sort of array of spirituality, have different powers and functions and purposes and so on. And somehow, we got to find our way through the maze of this stuff in order to finally reach God. Paul says, no, you don't, because Jesus is all of that and at the same time has dominion over all of that. That's good news. All right, here's another question for you. Do we need to perform man-made rituals and works in order to gain a hearing before the Redeemer? No. We come through God's work, holy baptism, to be joined to Christ. For Jesus Christ triumphs over the conditions of fallen existence, sin and death and flesh and the law and the evil spirits, by his death and resurrection. Now, get this. Paul's talking about baptism, and I ask you to think about baptism as compared to circumcision. Here's the connection. In the Old Testament rite of circumcision, only a small piece of flesh is removed, right? In the circumcision of Christ, our baptism, the whole lot of the flesh is removed. Let me say it again. In the Old Testament Mosaic Law, there was a sign of the covenant, and that was circumcision. And was it available to all? No. Who was it available to? Jewish boys. And in that sign of the covenant, that sign of belonging, only a small piece of flesh is cut away in circumcision, right? However, in the New Testament, under the new covenant, through Christ Jesus, we all have all of our flesh cut away, and the sign of that covenant relationship is baptism. Is it available to all? Yes. Male, female, there's no slave or free, right? We all have access to this covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we enter into it through baptism. We are joined to Christ, and all of our flesh is cut away. We die to all of it. And so, by the way, that is the corollary between baptism and circumcision. And just as no Jew would have said that this one act of circumcision makes someone Jewish, No one who baptizes infants, if they're going according to sound biblical practice and covenant theology, would say that that baptism saves that child. It is a sign of the covenant. It's a down payment on the promise that that child will come under the family name, and that that child now has the mark of the covenant, shares the covenant, and all the flesh has been cut away in Christ Jesus. Good stuff? Another question. Don't the dark powers still have the ability to take power over us? No. All of these created principalities and powers, the angels who are the hidden powers behind the fallen human existence, are defeated by the resurrection. And even the law has been fulfilled and thus transcended. Christ triumphs, and he rides in triumphal procession, leading prisoners of war in chains before him, while he also follows behind in his glorious, shining victor's chariot, the cross. I love that. I believe it was also Chrysostom, and you've heard me say this before, that Jesus Christ runs into the enemy's camp on his white horse of victory, where we have been taken away by pagan forces. And he scoops us up in his loving arms, and he takes us away. And though we now belong to him, we have a more noble purpose, and we have inheritance. Because through Christ Jesus and through the waters of baptism, we have died to all flesh, and we now belong to him. Paul is saying that Jesus already has it covered. Paul is saying that we are dead, and we are disconnected, and we are not whole, and we are fractured. We are a ragtag fugitive fleet, but in Christ Jesus, we have fullness, because our spirituality is located in him. If that doesn't give you goosebumps, then nothing will. Chrysostom says circumcision is no longer performed with a knife, but in Christ himself. For no human hand circumcises, but the Spirit. The Spirit circumcises the whole man, not simply a part. When and where? In baptism. Paul says to the Colossian church, baptism is no lower form. It's no quaint little ritual. It's not some little man-made tradition or device that will get you up one notch on the spirituality ladder. Rather, it is a beautiful, holy, mysterious linking to the body of Christ, who is our fullness. One more thing I should say. There's a place in verse number 8 that talks about human traditions. And sometimes people use that to go after their own pet human traditions that they don't think you should follow or have any value. I want you to know that he's not talking about the tradition of God's Word or that which has been handed down by the apostles. We don't have time to look at them, but I would point you toward 1 Corinthians 11:2 and 2 Thessalonians 2:15 and 3:6. It is in those places that Paul says we need to hold on to the tradition with a capital T. Rather, he's talking here about all of these extra things that the heretics and then ultimately the Marcionites put together, saying that you have to do in addition to your own circumcisions or whatever, whatnot. Let's pray. Lord, my mind can scarcely take it in, but I know this, that we do not have to fear the world around us or whatever powers or principalities are at work. And Lord, we do not work and walk in the world as those without hope, because we work and walk in the world in our baptisms. Because in our baptisms, all of the flesh has been cut away and we have died to it. And in the waters of our baptism, we die with you. And in the rising up from the waters of our baptism, we rise with you. You have defeated the enemy. Thank you, Jesus. So Lord, when the enemy would tell us that there are multiple paths, when the enemy would frighten us about the clattering of swords around us, Lord, when our politics exasperates us, help us to remember that we are already the fullness in you, and we need to walk that out day by day. Fortify us with your body and blood now as we come to the table for the tasks ahead of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future Faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.